start whenever.
We're starting the September 10, 2019 special session of the Oro Valley Planning and Zoning Commission. It's called to order. Gina, can I get a roll call?
Chair Swope.
Here.
Vice Chair Baskin.
Here.
Commissioner Bergsma.
Here.
Commissioner Gamble.
Here.
Commissioner Hong. Commissioner Posey.
Here.
And Commissioner Gribb is excused. Let the record show we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. Will everybody join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. This is the time that I open up the call to the audience. This is an opportunity for anyone who is here this evening who would like to talk about any topic that is not on the agenda for tonight to come forward. But I have no blue cards related to the call of the audience, so I will close the call of the audience portion. Just trying to see whether we have any dignitaries, members of the council here that I can introduce, but I don't see any others other than Bill. Yes, of course. In fact, I'm going to go there now with the council liaison comments from Councilman Bill Rodman.
Thank you, Chairman. We have obviously at the council spent most of our time recently looking at the community center golf course complex. So there have not been a lot of other things, but it might be interesting. We did just approve some changes to our rules and procedures. I'm the liaison to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we made it clear what our role is. If someone wonders why when I'm here I don't say anything during the meeting, it's because I can't and I shouldn't. This, in fact, is a meeting that the Planning and Zoning Commission talks among itself and figures out its recommendation. And that's now been cleaned up by our town attorney to be sure that that's clear. And that also there was some question whether or not if you weren't the liaison, you could attend some of the other boards and commissions. And of course, we thought we should, and so that was cleaned up. If the Crescent Murado were to move forward, if it does, that will probably be heard on October 2nd, then again on October 16th, but that's only if there's a recommendation to move it forward tonight. So just so you know, those would be the dates if it did. Next week, we're going to be looking at the rezoning and CUP for the self-storage, which, of course, the commission knows about at Oracle and Collier Concordia. So that's pretty much it. In respect for time, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Gina, I will turn it over to you now for the special session agenda.
Agenda item one, review and approval of the August 6, 2019 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. Assume you all had a chance to look at the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any additions, changes, corrections that we want to make? I see none. I will entertain a motion then to approve the minutes. Can I get that such a motion? You want to approve it? I will do it. I will move that we approve the minutes of the August 6. Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
The motion's been made and seconded to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record show that it passed 1, 2, 3, 6, 0. Gina, number two.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action on a request for a grading exception to increase the amount of site earthwork known as cut and fill up to 16 feet for a single-family residential lot located at 945 West Valle del Oro Road.
Thank you. Is there a staff presentation?
Yes, good evening. My name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the town's planning and permitting departments. So the purpose for this next case is to review a request on a single-family residential lot. The grading exception proposes to increase the amount of cut and fill allowed on this lot. I'll get more into the detail about the request and explain cut and fill in just a moment, but first let's get oriented as to the location of this property. The subject lot for tonight's case is located in the Oro Valley Estates subdivision. The Oro Valley Estates, outlined by the dark black line, is a custom home subdivision with lot sizes close to an acre in size. And I want to spend just a few minutes going over the history of this subdivision. On this slide is a page from the final plat for the Oro Valley Estates, which was created in 1959. As we can see, in 1959, Lot 6, which is the subject of tonight's case, was created as part of the original plat and was always intended to contain a house. When this plat was created in 1959, it was part of Pima County's jurisdiction. It wasn't until 1974, when the town of Oro Valley incorporated, that this area became part of the town. But even during those early years, when the town of Oro Valley was first created, the old Pima County rules remained in place. So for nearly 20 years after the creation of the Oro Valley Estates subdivisions, many homes in the area were built using very different grading standards than we have today. Although there were different rules in place for grading in the 1950s, this lot was always intended to contain a house on it. Fast forward to today, there are only about five remaining vacant lots in the subdivision, and Lot 6 is one of those lots. Grading on the remaining vacant lots must now meet the grading standards of today's codes. The property owner proposes to increase the amount of earthwork allowed on this site, specifically the cut and fill allowances. The term cut refers to the depth of dirt dug into on a property beneath the natural grade. The term fill refers to the depth of dirt added to the property above natural grade. The proposal is to allow up to a 16-foot cut, the yellow area, and up to a 12-foot fill, the pink area. So now let's compare the proposal of a 16-foot cut and a 12-foot fill with the grading standards of the zoning code. The zoning code usually allows a 6-foot cut, shown here in yellow, and a 6-foot fill, shown here in pink. These cut and fill standards are a way to try to preserve the natural contour of a site and create a balance that leads to a suitable building pad without significant scarring of the land. The zoning code also allows for a little bit more cut and fill, up to 8 feet, if terracing is utilized. So instead of 1 6-foot cut into the land, a series of retaining walls can be installed to equal 8 foot of cut. The same works for fill. Up to 8 feet can be filled on a property with retaining walls. So how does that apply to this lot? Well, when you take those cut and fill standards and apply them to this lot, it becomes very difficult to create a level building pad to contain a reasonably sized house. In fact, the slope on this lot is so extreme, the zoning code tells us that we must measure the building height from the natural grade. This would mean that if this lot is kept to its current cut and fill limits, any house in this lot would most likely be perched on the slope, and that design would most likely require a building height variance. So let's look at the slope of this lot. This is an aerial photo of Lot 6. It's a little hard to see the topography of this lot in this bird's eye view, but when we overlay a slope analysis on this photo, we get to see the degree of slopes more defined. The yellow tells us that part of the lot contains 15% slopes, while the red shows us slopes that are 25% or greater. That indicates it's a really steep lot. We can also look at this aerial photo with 2-foot contour lines placed over the lot. Each red line represents a 2-foot change in elevation. The slope on this lot is more than 70 feet from the south property line to the north property line. Many of you have the opportunity to visit this site and view the extreme slopes for yourself. A property with this type of extreme slope will eventually require a set of engineered plans to show how the integrity of the surrounding lots would be maintained and how proper drainage would be achieved. Those types of detailed plans are not part of this grading exception request. This grading exception is to gain approval for the cut and fill amounts only. We are not reviewing a detailed set of grading plans tonight. So at this point in my presentation, we've learned about the slope of the lot and the zoning code standards for cut and fill, and the request to increase the cut and fill limits. So now I want to briefly explain the relief mechanism that the zoning code allows, which is a grading exception. The zoning code provides this process to address difficult lots like we have on Lot 6. A grading exception is reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and forwarded to Town Council for final decision. The zoning code grading exception provides a set of criteria to ensure that the goals of protecting the land and the neighbors is accomplished while allowing grading on difficult lots. The report included in your packet provided more information about the grading criteria, but a couple of key issues I want to address tonight are the hardship and special privilege points. This is a challenging lot. In order to build on this site, a variance or waiver of some sort is going to be necessary. This lot cannot meet the building height limit and the cut and fill standards and provide a reasonable building pad without some sort of relief. As I mentioned earlier, Lot 6 was always intended to contain a house. So for 60 years, that lot has remained vacant. So quite frankly, any construction on that site will be a big change for surrounding neighbors. However, there are codes in place to ensure that a registered engineer would be required to design plans to protect the abutting lots while providing an acceptable building site. Often, we have to try and visualize what a proposed case might look like through descriptions and drawings. But in this case, we have the unique opportunity to see an example of how Lot 6 might look someday if this grading waiver would gain approval. The lot shown in this slide is also located in the Ore Valley Estates. This property here that we see on the slide was built in 1977, during that time that grading standards were from the old Pima County codes. But we can see how the slope of the lot contains several retaining walls where they cut into the land and where they filled onto the property in order to create a flat building pad for a house. With this proposed grading exception and future engineered plans, this is an example of what Lot 6 might look like in the future. A grading exception is a public hearing that is reviewed by both the Planning and Zoning Commission and Council. Because it is a public hearing, we notified the neighbors within 600 feet of the lot, posted a sign on the property, and placed a newspaper notice, and also posted on the town's website. At this time, we've heard from the neighbors who live to the west of Lot 6, and you've been given their letter this evening to review, and their concerns include drainage, runoff with the dirt and the water that comes into their yard already, and the changing the dynamics of the topography, and the request is doubling the allowed standards. So in summary, the proposal to increase the cut and fill on Lot 6 meets the criteria and purpose and intent of the zoning code standards for a lot that is always intended to contain a house, and staff recommends approval. The applicant is here tonight and also has a few slides and comments to review with you.
Thank you, Patty. That's great. If the applicant would like to speak now to us, that'd be great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Appreciate.
Can you come and say your name and?
Susan Richards, and I'm the current owner of the lot.
Okay, thank you.
In question. Thanks so much for the planning group. Patty's been extremely helpful to us. I have my architect here who's helped with design, Ben Vogel, and also my realtor, John Billings, from Long Realty. So they've come to answer any specific questions that I might not be able to answer.
Okay.
So basically, we're looking at the presentation I put together just with some background on since we've owned the property. The original plan, in my case, from 2004, we purchased this lot, myself and my husband, in 2004 for $149,000. And our plan was to build a home at a future date. Upon our eventual move from Boston, where we were living at the time, to Oro Valley. In 2013, the move from Boston to Oro Valley did occur, but a financial setback prohibited our plan to build because of the expense of the build. And that was really what our criteria was at the time. As a family, we made a decision in 2014 to sell the lot to recoup some or all of the original investment. Over the past 5 years, there have been numerous unsuccessful attempts to sell the lot, and Patty alluded to much of the difficulty the challenge of building on it. It became evident that a buyer for the lot, because right now I've been still trying to sell it, would want some assurances of what type of house could be built due to the challenge of the build and the site prep needed. Marketing efforts were then modified to include a licensed architect, and Ben is here to represent that, Mr. Vogel, to provide possible house plans and a consultation on the build. Both two-level stair-step house, which would be a build into the side of the hill, and a single-level designs were discussed. Working with a realtor, John Billings is here from Long Realty, indicates that the best desirability and marketability of the lot to maximize the views on the hillside and the size of the home that you'd put in would be to build a single-level home to allow an owner to age in place. This seems to be more of an interest in single-level homes in that area, in much of this area, for people with the challenges as they age, and to have everything on one level. To accommodate a possible single-level home, at a meeting with the Oro Valley planning staff earlier this year, it was determined that the best course of action was to request a grading exception as to relate to cut and fill, which Patty so well documented. If the grading exception is granted, this greatly increases the likelihood of a buyer to purchase and build on the lot. Selling the lot would provide substantial financial relief to the current owner. Right now, we are in a situation where we continue to pay property taxes every year on it. But my desire really is, since we were not able to build, that someone should. It's a beautiful location. The views are spectacular from it. And it would be a shame not to have someone put a home on that lot. The last notation I have is really just that the buyer would not be obligated to a single-level house, but having the grading exception in place would be there if they desire to do so. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. This is a public hearing. Unless other members of the commission have specific questions that they want to ask the applicant or the staff at this point in time, I'd like to move to the public hearing. Hal, you look like though you wanted to say something.
No.
Okay, we can wait. Okay. Well, then I will open the public hearing. Now, the way the public hearing works for both this particular case in front of us now and the one that will come later this evening, if you want to speak during the public hearing, you need to fill out a blue card, turn it in to the clerk of the commission, and I ask you, because we have a lot of blue cards tonight, there are a lot of people who want to speak in both this case and the next case, that you try to limit yourself to the 3 minutes. You will get a ding or a bell or whatever. It will indicate that you're at 3 minutes, and so I would like you to try to keep to that 3 minutes if you can. At some point in time, I will pull a hook on you if you exceed the 3 minutes at some point. So I'm opening the public hearing on this particular case. The first speaker tonight is Justin Daramont. And I apologize if I'm bollocksing people's names.
So I'm Justin Daramont. I'm the owner of the house just on the southwest corner of the lot that we're talking about. So my thing really isn't the grading exception itself. It really isn't. It's a drainage issue. So there's a lot of erosion that actually comes off of that hill already. We already have issues with an existing house that's actually built a little bit above. A lot of erosion already comes down. And just looking at what we're looking at right here, the corner of the lot actually overlaps my personal lot as well as the lower lot, which we have a lot of drainage issues as far as my drainage canals filling up with dirt already. It's a pretty big issue. So my thing would just be to make sure that if this goes through or when it goes through, that those issues are taken care of. So as far as the engineering and all that kind of stuff is just looked at. I don't know if there's a hydrology report that has already been done or something like that, but I'd like to see one. But that's pretty much the issue, and I think that's going to be the issue with a lot of the neighbors is the actual drainage, not the actual grading exception itself. But so that's it.
Justin, can I just ask you,
yep.
Can you point out your house on
yes.
this photograph just so that we know where what your perspective is, if you will?
Right there in the middle, so I'm lot 5, I believe it is. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So I actually have drainage canals that actually go down that side of the property that actually drain that hill itself, and those canals are, and I'm going to tell you, full at the moment with dirt, and they're actually overflowing at the, at this point, and it's all coming from those two lots right there down the hill.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah.
So thank you
my,
so much.
That's
thank
my
you.
Thing.
Thank you.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You so much. Yeah.
All right.
Next speaker is Wally Vett or Vetti.
Hello, I'm Wally Vetti. I live in Oro Valley Estates, and I don't live right next to the property, but I was on the Architectural Review Committee for the HOA, and at one point we reviewed this before, and it was an issue of could they cut and fill, as you showed earlier, the lady showed earlier, with other houses. And I've been in the neighborhood 7.5, almost 8 years, and some of the other houses have had to go back and do a lot of retention and additional work because even though they had a house, without all the extra work, dirt and rocks and everything else end up in the road after a good storm. This year, our monsoons didn't show up, but you know we have had horrible storms in the past. And this site, actually part of the dirt will go out onto the street and down and across the intersection and into a wash across the way. So that's probably my biggest concern. I mean, I'm not opposed to building it. If you look at it, the cut and fill, it's a goat hill. I mean, it's a horrible lot. I mean, I admire you for wanting to build on it. The other thing is the house just to the south, just so that they, you know, again, that goes back to the engineers, but providing them protection for their house, because if something happens years from now because of erosion or whatever, you know, you're going to end up with, you know, lots of trouble. So those are my only concerns.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Last speaker would be Evelyn Sevilla.
We live in the house.
Again, if you just state your names for the record.
Oh, Evelyn Sevilla. And we're at 935 West Valle del Oro, which is the house just south of that property.
Just above it.
We're just above it, yeah. We built that house in 1994. We had an incredible architect and also an engineer, Ivan Sarkisian, who did all the federal buildings downtown and fixed the mess at Skyline Country Club. And that our property was cut down at least 12 feet until they reached sandstone to accommodate the house. And we're still having settling problems. Our tiles are cracking in the house. The exterior stucco walls are cracking. And it's just really unstable for us to think of anything going on below our property to compromise our land and the erosion that's going on. We do have a lot of erosion. Every time it rains, we see the gullies go down. And also the supports around the retaining wall around our house constantly keep cracking. We have to have the buttresses reinforced all the time. So it's really a worry for us to have anything going on like that just right below us to compromise our house and our property.
Appreciate that.
That's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have no other blue cards, so I will close the public hearing and open it for discussion. But I want to clarify one point before we proceed. Patty, the discussion tonight is simply a grading exception. If the grading exception is approved, what are the next steps in this process for this project? Because I know there are a number of steps that will deal with a lot of these more technical issues down the road. Is that right?
Chair Swope, you are correct. Right now, this case tonight is just a grading exception to allow an increase in the cut and fill. There's no detailed plans associated with this grading exception. If this were to gain approval, then this would allow an engineer to know what they're working with, and they would have to submit engineered plans to us, which would include hydrology reports. And maybe I can defer to engineering to answer what kind of plans we would require for that.
Thanks, Patty. So, first of all, I think if this were approved, there's really, I don't think, a timetable for when a plan comes in. It sounds like to me, you know, she's going to put it on the market. The potential home buyer in the future will purchase the property and want to build a home on it. So at that point, regardless of grading exception or not, they have to submit detailed plans and reports. This particular property is very unique in character, obviously. So that would, you know, by itself require a little bit more unique type of study to be done on the property. I know a geotechnical engineer has already looked at this piece as part of this application. So they're already thinking about those types of requirements. There's lots of questions about the stability and compromising structures above and below. Those would be part of the analysis from a structural perspective. And that's a very important piece to this is the geotechnical analysis in regards to making sure we can keep the soils in place, making sure any structures surrounding the property are not compromised, recommendations for how that home is built and how everything around it is protected. So that would be a very big part of any future application for this property. In addition to that, there would be a drainage analysis that would be done to quantify, not only drainage leaving the property, but also drainage coming into the property. So making sure that, you know, the design incorporates the features necessary to allow that drainage to come into the property as it does currently, and then leave the property in a fashion that meets existing conditions with hopefully some recommendations to improve, the existing state, which is you've got a lot of erosion happening, with construction of a home and a driveway and a garage that helps in itself to stabilize what's directly beneath it. So, you know, by default, that's going to help in some ways. But we also have to take a look at, you know, the water coming into the property, being routed around the home and then discharged back into an existing location, making sure that concentrated flow doesn't have a negative impact. So all that is reviewed in very detailed analyses as part of a building permit and grading permit application at some point in the future.
Okay. That's very helpful, David. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a follow-up question for Mr. Laws. So you're going to be reviewing the geotech and drainage analyses that are submitted for the applicant. Who on staff would do that review?
So we have several engineers that do the review, both in my group, which is permitting. I've got engineers within my group. I'm an engineer myself as well. We also have a stormwater utility, which is involved in that process.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Any further discussion about this?
Maybe just have a question for Mr. Laws. Just from an engineering standpoint, I was concerned, having visited the site, about the home, I guess, directly to the south, mm-hmm. and now I haven't heard from Evelyn firsthand. I mean, do you have any insight as to your confidence about, is there an engineering solution that will stabilize that hill? I mean, I understand what Patty said, a home is always intended to be built here, but can it be, I mean, without disrupting or compromising the adjacent neighborhoods, the neighborhood lots?
You know, when dealing with this type of topography, it could be challenging. And so in terms of solutions, I mean, we look to, you know, a very highly specialized engineer, or geotechnical engineer in this case, you know, to provide those recommendations for us. So absent completely paving that slope, I mean, there's no guarantees that there's not going to be erosion. I think regardless of this property, the surrounding neighbors are dealing with erosion on an annual basis. That's just the reality of Mother Nature. You've got steep slopes, you've got drainage, so there's always going to be, you know, maintenance requirements. You can't completely get rid of that. And so the goal here is to not make anything any worse than it is today, and hopefully we could maybe make it better. But again, that's what, you know, the specialized engineers will be looking at in terms of providing those recommendations to make sure we're not making anything worse.
Okay. Just also a follow-up question on drainage. Just so I understand, that the burden of whoever develops this lot in the future is, with regards to drainage, they're responsible for managing whatever is on that lot. I mean, we heard from some of the other adjacent neighbors issues that may indirectly be affected by this lot, but just so I understand, what's the burden of whoever develops this lot? Is it to solve all the surrounding issues, or is it just limited to the ones directly affected by this lot?
So going into a project like this, it's helpful to know ahead of time that there's a problem area here. That helps staff be able to look more closely at a particular situation and propose design to, you know, look more closely to make sure we're not making something worse. But ultimately, when we look at a development for something like this, it's a custom graded subdivision, so every lot is individually graded. So they're not mass grading that property. They're touching the internal piece of that total property. So we have to make sure that where drainage comes in and drainage leaves is basically in the same form and fashion as what you see prior to development of that home. So the development of this house is not to, you know, fix all existing issues, but certainly we're looking at it to not make anything worse. And hearing the comments tonight certainly puts a spotlight on making sure we're looking at that very closely.
Thank you. I would like to ask one question of the applicant. What type of outreach have you made to your neighbors? In other words, have you sat with them and discussed what you have in mind? Are you familiar with the concerns that they have? How are you working with them? It would give us a sense of the commission a sense of how that interaction is going.
Well, initially what I did is I contacted the HOA management group there. There was quite a bit of back and forth information regarding the plans, what we were looking to do. The indications that I got were that they felt that things should proceed through the Oro Valley Planning Group, through the Town Council as well. So I haven't reached out. You know, I don't live in that neighborhood. You know, we bought it to build on it in 2004. And, you know, in retrospect, I mean, we, you know, if you knew then what we know now, you know, we were into looking into the future to build, you know. And in 2013, when we moved, we actually were starting to proceed with it. And then financially, we just had a setback that didn't even allow us to continue to do further planning on it. So what we the pushback and the bounce back we've been getting is essentially now the reality of it, which is the difficulty to build on the lot. You know, so I'm sure the neighbors, we see what happens over there as well. My feeling would be that anything that's done by a future owner, and hopefully somebody will buy it and build on it, will help, will actually mitigate some of the issues that they're now having with drainage, because you can see it. I mean, absolutely, we've owned it for all these years, so we've seen a change in the lot itself. You know, so I have not reached out to those folks, because truly I don't know them. You know, I haven't. You know, we went through the normal process. You know, for tonight, for people for a public hearing. So I'm glad they came. I'm glad that it's known that there's a concern. But obviously this has been going on for, you know, 60 or more years on that lot. You know, so As I said earlier, I just hope that that there's a way that someone can find a way to build on it. It's a shame for it not to be built on. The location is just a beautiful location, and that's what we liked about it. Again, you know, if we knew then what we know now, but the reality is that we're hopeful that by getting the grading exception and other planning that we'll do for a potential buyer, that will assure them that they can build a home on that lot and be confident in putting a design in there that works for them. So really, I'm here representing a future buyer, is my hope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's helpful. Hal?
Yes. Should note for the record that we have received a letter from the owner, I believe, of the property to the northwest of this lot. So it'd be the upper left-hand corner of the slide on the screen, fronting on Valle del Oro. They note that the site plan shows retaining walls in the back of the house south and the front north, but no mention of any protection from my property to the west. So I guess the question for Mr. Laws is, I assume that impacts on that property would be addressed in any analysis that is done as well.
Correct. And again, the placement of retaining walls is not necessarily for protection of the property, but more to be able to provide that flattened building pad for construction of the home. So on the west side of the property, there's, you know, I wouldn't assume no proposed walls because the grading for that wouldn't require it. But certainly, again, as we go through the review process, I mean, we're checking to make sure we're minimizing any type of impact to surrounding properties on the public right-of-way because, again, the public right-of-way is something the town maintains, and we want to make sure we're not having an impact to our facilities as well.
Exactly. Thank you.
I just want to point out that the staff has provided three conditions of approval for this exception tonight. So that's would be part of the motion if we proceed with this case. And in fact, at this point in time, I will entertain a motion as to how we want to proceed. Can I get such a motion?
Before we do, can yes. I ask one question? Patty, quick question. If this moves ahead, the engineering reviews and whatever happens next, is that all handled administratively, or is there another opportunity for public neighbor input as that site possibly develops?
If the commission recommends approval tonight, this case moves to town council next, which is another public hearing. So the same neighbors will be notified, and we'll do a fresh posting with the updated dates and times of that next hearing, which will actually be in October. And if council were to approve this case at that hearing, then the next steps would be all administrative approvals by staff. There would be no more public hearings.
And if I may, Chair, I'd just like to punctuate that regardless whether this grading waiver is approved or not, a house will be built on this lot eventually. That's, you know, really not, as you know, the discussion this evening, whether a home is appropriate or not. At which point, whatever grading standards are used, it's an administrative review process for all building and grading permits.
As I said, I will entertain a motion on how we want to proceed.
Mr. Chairman, given that I don't think we have a lot of choice here, I think we have to give them an opportunity to try to come up with a plan to build on this property. And so I'm going to move to recommend approval of the grading exception for Lot 6 of Oro Valley Estates, subject to conditions in Attachment 1 to the staff report, based on finding it is consistent with the review criteria of the zoning code.
Thank you, Al. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Al, I agree with you that we need to give the homeowner, the property owner, at least an opportunity to try to move this project along. It would be, I don't think it would be fair to them to at least not give them that opportunity. I mean, I wish you the best. It's an impossible piece of property. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I admire you, your efforts to attempt it. So the motion has been made and seconded to approve. Any further discussion? Okay, I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Let the record show the motion passed 6-0. Okay, Gina, next case.
Item 3, public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding two requests related to a proposed 47-lot residential subdivision located near the northwest corner of Tangerine Road and Lot La Cholla Boulevard. The two, requ- the two requests include, one, Type 2 General Plan Amendment to change the general plan land use designation from public semi-public to medium density residential, and two, rezoning to change the zoning designation of the property from R1-144 large lot residential to R17 small lot residential.
Thank you. Will those who are leaving please leave instead of having your conversation in? Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Okay. So, staff report on this particular case. Michael?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Thank you. My name is Michael Spaeth. I'm the principal planner with the town of Oro Valley. As Ms. Ancona indicated, our purpose tonight is to consider two items, a proposed general plan amendment and rezoning for the property located near the northwest corner of Tangerine Road and La Cholla Boulevard. As part of my presentation, I'd like to provide a little bit of background on the application and the property, provide some detail on the applicant's proposals, give a summary of the public participation effort involved, discuss the review process for these types of applications, and then finally provide a staff recommendation to the commission. So to quickly orient folks with where the subject property is located, it's highlighted in yellow here, again, near the northwest corner of Tangerine Road and La Cholla Boulevard. It's bordered on the west. It is bordered on the west by Como Drive and on the north by Limewood Drive. As you can see by the black star here, the subject property does encompass the existing Episcopal Church of the Apostles and is adjacent to the Victory Worship Church shown here in the white star. Everything south of the blue line here is town of Oro Valley, and everything north of that line is unincorporated Pima County. And for reference, I have just shown where the Wilson K through 8 school here is to further orient folks. So as Ms. Ancona indicated, the applicant's two requests are to enable the development of a single-family residential subdivision with 47 lots proposed, with a range of lot sizes ranging from a minimum of 7,000 square feet to a little over half an acre. There are 41 lots that have a minimum lot size of 7,000 square feet and six lots with a minimum of a half acre. Those six lots are along Limewood Drive along the north side of the property. The subdivision does have an average lot size of approximately 9,300 square feet. Again, it does incorporate a little bit of a lot size transition where you've got the smaller 7,000 square foot lots kind of oriented towards Tangerine Road and some future designated commercial properties at the intersection of Tangerine and La Cholla, which I'll go into further detail on a coming slide. And then again, half acre lots along Limewood Drive, providing a lot size transition to the surrounding large lot residential to both the north of the property along Limewood and then also to the west of the property along Como Drive. Those lots range anywhere from about 2.2 acres in size to over 36 acres in size. So there is quite a range as far as those lots are concerned. The subdivision design preserves approximately 41% of the site as open space. It also includes a recreation area shown here on the southeast corner of Limewood and Como Drive, that would again serve as a little bit of additional buffer to those residents to the west. There are two access points, one onto Como Drive here, and then another one at the existing, at the existing church entrance onto La Cholla Boulevard. And there are also includes pedestrian connections along Tangerine Road and La Cholla Boulevard, as well as in-lieu fees for some future pedestrian connections along Como and Limewood Drive. With regard to the first item, the general plan amendment, again, the applicant is requesting a change to the general plan land use designation for the property from public, semi-public, as shown in blue here on the screen, to medium density residential. Again, for context, as you can see on the screen, located nearest the intersection of Tangerine and La Cholla Boulevard, both of which are arterial roadways, you can see on the general plan, all four corners are designated for what's called neighborhood commercial office. Those areas are anticipated to see an increase in intensity in the future. And then you do see some step downs in intensity as you get away from the intersection on all four corners. Furthermore, those properties designated as neighborhood commercial office are included in what's known as a Tier 2 growth area on the general plan. A Tier 2 growth areas are those that are particularly suitable for infrastructure and multimodal transportation expansion in the future to help support a concentration of development. So again, for context, there is an anticipated expectation that there will be additional intensity at the intersection of Tangerine and La Cholla. North of the property and the west of the property, there is rural low-density residential on the general plan land use map. And the proposed medium-density residential land use designation would serve as an effective transition between the higher-intensity uses expected at the intersection along Tangerine Road and La Cholla and the lower intensity uses to the north and west of the subject property. These types of applications are reviewed for conformance with the overall Your Voice, Our Future general plan, but specifically the general plan amendment criteria that is included in that general plan, which is summarized on the screen, and I'm going to discuss each of these criteria in my coming slides. With regard to conformance with the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies of the general plan, the request is in conformance, as again, staff's opinion is that the medium density residential land use designation will serve as an effective transition between that higher intensity development near the intersection and the lower development, intensity development, to the north and west of the subject property. With regard to the development character of the area, again, there is expected to be that increase in intensity near the intersection, and the applicant has oriented the smaller lots towards that intensity as well as Tangerine Road and has incorporated a lot size transition to the lower density intensity uses to the north and west, as well as incorporating the recreation area, again, to kind of serve as a buffer to those lower intensity uses. However, it is worth noting that in staff's opinion, the half acre lots do represent the minimum of the range that would be appropriate for a lot size transition in this area. And we do recognize that neighbors would like to see a larger lot size there. And a larger lot would be a more effective transition, though this does represent a transition in staff's opinion. So with that said, this request to change the land use designation to medium density residential is in conformance with the 1A criteria, as it will not significantly change the development character of the area in staff's opinion. With regard to infrastructure, there are conditions in Attachment 1 which will require the developer to improve Como Drive, evaluate the integrity of Limewood Drive to determine if improvements are needed, and to provide pedestrian connections, as I've stated previously, along the surrounding roads, specifically Limewood and Como Drive. Furthermore, the developer will be responsible for all future water and sewer infrastructure costs. Therefore, they are in consistency with that requirement. With regard to public services, there will not be any adverse impacts to public services as the development will be required to be code compliant and will be responsible for all required impact fees. With regard to natural beauty in the environment, as stated previously, the design preserves approximately 41% of the site as open space, including a critical wash along the east side of the property. The design has also restricted lots highlighted with stars on the west side of the property here as single story to help minimize any potential visual impacts to properties to the west of the subject site. With regard to Amendment Criteria 2, relative to public participation, the applicant has held three neighborhood meetings that were all well attended. Several topics listed on screen were common to all three meetings, and these the first three listed there are the three that the applicant and neighbors could not reach consensus on during the neighborhood meeting process. Those include the lot size transition to the lower intensity residential to the north and west of the property, changes to the development character of the area, and traffic on area roads. It is worth noting the applicant did incorporate several revisions to try and address these concerns, including providing a larger lot size transition than initially proposed, limiting some lots to single story, relocating the recreation area to provide more of a buffer, and then agreed to not impact Como Drive. It is worth noting the applicant did agree to not access Como Drive. That was a recommendation from town staff to improve circulation for the subdivision to have two access points of ingress and egress. Again, ultimately, the neighbors could not find consensus on those three key issues. And during the neighborhood meeting process, it was determined it would be more productive for everyone involved to have conversations relative to those key issues in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So in summary, for item one, the request to change the land use designation to medium density residential from public semi-public is consistent with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, specifically the amendment criteria included therein. With regard to item two, the proposed rezoning, a request to change the subject property from R1 144 or large lot residential to R17 or medium size lot residential. Per state law and the town zoning code, all rezoning requests must be in conformance with the general plan land use designation of the property. Before again focusing on the proposed site design provided by the applicant, it is again worth considering the surrounding context as it relates to zoning. As you can see on screen, two of the four corners at the intersection, the northeast corner and the southeast corner, both are already entitled for commercial development. Those have tentative development plans that have been approved by town council. And then the other two remaining commercial corners, southwest and northwest, again, are designated on the general plan as future commercial sites. And we do anticipate development on all four corners that are higher intensity uses. As stated previously, Tangerine Road and LaToya Boulevard are both arterial roadways where more intense development is typical. As such, this intersection is undoubtedly going to see higher intensity of development in the future. Lastly, again, the subject property is sandwiched, if you will, between the existing church shown here in black and the Victory Worship Church to the west, both higher intensity uses than large lot residential. Again, the proposed rezoning and the associated tentative development plan calls for 47 lots with a lot size transition again to those lower intensity development or residential to the north and west of the subdivision. Again, it includes about 9 acres or 41% open space as part of the Tangerine Road Scenic Corridor Overlay District. These lots shown in yellow at the southern end of the property are required to be single story. And again, the applicant has agreed to limit these lots shown in blue to a single story as well, again, to help minimize visual impacts for the surrounding property owners. As part of the process, they did relocate the recreation area here to the west side of the property, again, to kind of serve as a additional buffer to existing residential to the west. The application does include requirements and conditions in attachment one for improvements to Como Drive, again, as I mentioned earlier, as well as pedestrian connections along Tangerine Road and LaToya Boulevard and for future pedestrian connections on Como and Limewood. In staff's opinion, the site does serve as a good transition between these higher intensity uses at the intersection and the large lot residential to the north and west. The larger lot sizes along Limewood Drive would be an even more effective lot size transition. Again, with regard to public participation, there were three neighborhood meetings that were well attended. The common themes discussed at all three are listed on screen. Again, there were three key issues that were discussed at length during the neighborhood meeting process for which consensus could not be found, and we're looking for the commission to address those this evening. The applicant did work into the plan several neighborhood agreements to try and address those issues as much as they could. We have received several letters of correspondence from neighbors that were included in your packet, as well as several additional letters that we had received since the packet went out. All of you should have those. With regard to item number two, rezoning applications are reviewed for conformance with the Your Voice, Our Future general plan, as well as the zoning code. And with regard to this particular case, the zoning code requirements specific to compatibility, views, and traffic circulation. And the applicant's request is in conformance with those criteria. So in summary, regarding both items, staff's opinion is the medium density residential land use designation is an appropriate transition between the future commercial at the intersection and the surrounding large lot residential. The site design has tried to address neighborhood concerns and has included a lot size transition. However, we do acknowledge that the half acre lot sizes are at the bottom end of that range, and larger lot sizes would serve as a more effective transition. And with that in mind, as I mentioned, neighbors do still have some concerns on those three key issues that we're looking for commission viewpoint on. Mr. Chair, we do need two separate motions, one for each item. Again, I'd like to remind the Planning and Zoning Commission that per state law and the town zoning code, all rezoning applications are required to be in conformance with the general plan land use designation of the property. So essentially, the second request is in a sense tied to the first. For example, if there is a negative recommendation for item one, the general plan amendment, then item two needs to also have a negative recommendation. However, if item one has a positive recommendation, then item two could have a positive or negative recommendation. So just to make that clear for the commission. With that said, staff is recommending approval of item one, the general plan amendment, and recommending approval of item two, the rezoning, subject to the conditions listed in attachment one. So thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here to give a presentation and answer any questions. Thank you,
Michael. Thank you. I actually would like the applicant to come forward now and make your presentation before we get into the discussion.
Great. Chairman Swope, members of the commission, thank you and good evening. My name is Brian Underwood, and I know many people here tonight are upset with this proposal, and I wish we could turn that around. But since I'm not sure that's possible, I at least want to take the time to clear some things up and give you some background on the property and why we're doing this. This is not a quest for profit or done out of greed. The church wants only to ensure their peace and prosperity and that of their congregation in the community. Churches are struggling in general all over the country. This is not just the Episcopal Church of the Apostles. The property the church sits on was originally purchased by Mike Carlier and a partnership group in 1994. Sometime after that, the property owners at the time, not the church, worked with a local attorney to perform a quiet title action on the property to remove an onerous deed restriction. Basically, they sued themselves and nobody responded, so the ruling was in favor of the landowner. And I might point out that that's a common occurrence in real estate that happens quite often. The property was subsequently sold to the church, who intended to utilize more of the property for a school and chapel, but fell victim to the recession, causing those plans to be scrapped. A new school would have brought a large amount of daily activity and traffic to the area, and it also would have created a much bigger footprint for the church, allowing them more use of the land they purchased. Matters became worse when a significant amount of church funds were misappropriated by a founding member, leading us to the reason why we're here tonight with this proposal. As I mentioned, the church is not seeking profit. They simply want the opportunity to live harmoniously with existing residents and a new group of folks that will hopefully be a close-knit addition to their congregation. The church will continue to be there and will be the closest neighbor, so quality and community are of great importance to them as well. Compatibility and effective transitions are also of utmost importance to the church, as well as everyone that lives in the area. And although many people here tonight may not agree with us, we have changed the plan considerably from when we first started this process over 2 years ago. We have listened to the concerns and have tried to ensure new homes that are built will have as little visual impact as possible from neighboring properties and streets. And we have some before and after simulations we'll show in the next few slides to illustrate the expected visual impact. We've proposed a lot size transition with homes on larger lots spaced out more and providing more open space. A conservation easement along the back of the larger half-acre lots to ensure vegetation preservation in perpetuity and at time of construction so that existing residents aren't left waiting for new landscaping to grow up and form a mature screen. We've also imposed two-story restrictions, large setbacks from homes on the west side, and we initially attempted to limit access only to La Cholla to address concerns about the use of Como Drive, but were directed to provide secondary access on Como to ensure better connectivity for the subdivision and to address existing severe dust and drainage concerns. These before and after images are meant to illustrate height and the location of proposed homes. They are not representative of proposed architecture or colors and do not include any future landscaping that will further screen homes from view when looking across the site. We wanted to show the most accurate or worst case example, if you will, of what the new home development could look like, since we know new landscaping doesn't always immediately provide visual screening until the vegetation has a chance to mature. Now, I've talked about compatibility and effective transitions being important to the church and everyone that lives in the area, but they're also components of the town's general plan. As you can see in this map, medium density residential is an appropriate land use designation because it will serve as a graduated transition of intensity between future commercial at the intersection and the low intensity development north and west of the property. In fact, ensuring development in Oro Valley provides effective transitions between land uses is mentioned throughout the goals, policies, and guiding principles of the general plan. But land use transitions brought on by amendments to the general plan were specifically excluded from the 2016 update to allow more in-depth public participation such as this. Next, I'm going to touch on our target market briefly. Millennials and baby boomers already make up over 50% of Oro Valley's population, and a large contingency in each of those groups has a growing preference for high-quality housing with low to no maintenance yards so they can enjoy busy, active lifestyles or focus on their work and climbing the ranks of their respective careers. So in addition to providing more housing choices to attract new families and working professionals, there is a growing need to diversify housing options to meet the preferences of existing town residents as well. These are folks we want to attract to the town and encourage them to stay if they're already here, since they add to the skilled labor force and greatly impact the local economy through consumer spending. This is especially true when looking at information from the town's draft comprehensive economic development strategy, which indicates that by next year, 40% of millennials will work from home, with at least one-third earning over $90,000 or more. If we want Oro Valley to thrive, the town needs an adequate stock of housing that is appealing to these types of buyers. When looking at the existing housing stock in the town by land area, rural and low-density residential land make up over one-third of the town of Oro Valley, more than any other land use category, including open space. And this is taken directly from the general plan. Medium-density residential housing similar to this proposal is less than 20%, and high-density residential, such as apartments, is less than 5% of the town's total land area and planning area boundaries. This project would cause an increase of only 0.1% in the total amount of medium-density residential land area. And with effective transitions, such as the ones we have proposed, two-story home restrictions, lot size transitions, setbacks, and open space preservation, projects such as this can fulfill the goals and policies of the general plan, goals and policies also aimed at expanding services in areas throughout the town and creating a diverse economic and housing base to support new and existing businesses and industry. Now, I won't go into a deep discussion about the importance of housing density to commercial development, because I think some of Oral Valley Marketplace's struggles, the loss of major big box retailers such as Best Buy and now Dick's Sporting Goods, empty grocery store anchor tenants, and other struggling commercial, show what happens when land originally intended for high density apartments, etc., is built out with single family homes at half the density expected to support that commercial and employment. As you can see in this map, most of the town's planning area to the south is already largely built out, helping make the case for small infill projects such as this to support expansion of business and services. Infill development will also help create effective transitions between the growth areas shown in pink and existing neighborhoods. And in summary, I'd just like to wrap up by saying we have held multiple meetings and listened and read the comments and concerns expressed by neighbors. At this point, we are simply too far apart to reach a point where we can all agree. We are hearing that only large lots are acceptable, and that simply does not accomplish the church's goal of being able to sell their land to pay their debts and ensure they can continue to serve their congregation. This property sits at the intersection of two major streets with planned commercial on all four corners and proposed commercial centers across the street that already have zoning. It acts as a transition property between the existing low density to the north and west, and we've worked closely with planning staff to make compromises that thoughtfully address the transition between the church property and adjacent property owners. We ask that in making your decision tonight, you consider this transition, which is softened by the large setbacks and open space buffers and larger lots along the north. We believe this plan strikes a balance for the town between being sensitive to lower density neighborhoods while maintaining the church's viability and supporting the economic vitality of Oral Valley by providing a desirable housing option for existing and future residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you. Does anybody want to ask a question, either the applicant or the staff? Otherwise, I will move ahead with the open house. Public hearing, I'm sorry. Because I would like to give the folks who have come here and stayed now an hour and 10 minutes an opportunity to weigh in. Is there any objection to that? Okay. I will then open the public hearing. And as I mentioned before, thank you, I would like you to try to limit your comments to 3 minutes so that roughly a dozen people or more have an opportunity to speak. And I would also, I know there's a lot of energy in the room tonight, and I would like, if you would, hold your applause agreement or booing, if whatever, because it really doesn't impact the commission. We hear it, but it doesn't impact how we're going to vote. We're trying to be as fair and objective as much as we can, and the applause doesn't help us in making those decisions. So with that in mind, I'd like to call the first person, Jim Tripp. And the next person after that will be Susan Walker.
I'm Jim Tripp, and I live in Sky Ranch, Marana. What brings me here is the precedent-setting nature of Cresta Murado vis-a-vis the paused annexation adjacent to Sky Ranch and its implications for Marana's 2020 general plan that's now in process. Earlier this year, I learned at a public meeting that nearly all 20 acres of the church land was for sale and that an offer had been received contingent upon rezoning. At that meeting, a town planner and an outside consultant gave what I considered at the time a vigorous and, at that time, one-sided advocacy of rezoning the empty church land to what appeared to me to be tiny R7 lots on behalf of the developer and the church. This clearly enraged the neighboring citizens, judging from their reaction that I saw. Brushing aside these citizen objections, the town, I've read the agenda packet, and it now rationalizes R7 rezoning for Cresta Morado, to me is clinging very tightly to this tiny sliver of R7 lots on the south side of Tangerine beyond the boundary of the intervening state trust land, which is currently zoned R144 but has the MDR designation on the general plan. But this tiny sliver of R7 lots, I don't see how it really makes the rezoning compatible with the general plan, since it has only two razor-thin buffers, in my opinion, of open space on the west and the half-acre lots to the north. But I look at the overall result, and it looks to me, from what it looks like right now, it's an intersection with three empty corners of hoped-for commercial and office space, and one corner with a thin, thin sliver of commercial and a large group of houses wrapped around a church in a very awkward manner. Now, citizens know that if this foothold of R7 rezoning is approved, it is likely to propagate beyond that corner and throughout the vast sea of R144 zoning north of Tangerine via what it has emerged to me in 1 year of following the land use policies for the 885 annexation. It seems that there has been a few decades of invade and blade, encouraging urban sprawl. So I ask the commission to say no to any more invade and blade. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Susan Walker, and the next individual after that is Reverend Deborah Assis.
Good evening. Thank you for having this public hearing and letting us speak our mind. My name is Susan Walker, and I'm an 11-year resident of Oro Valley. And I have been through the process of trying to build a custom private home, and we made it. And we thank the Planning and Zoning Commission for their efforts to make our community even more attractive. And I'm here to ask that you vote in favor of the two motions. And the reason that I ask you to do that is because we're trying to maintain a neighborhood environment and be very good neighbors. The Episcopal Church is built on a history of hospitality. That is one of its principal tenets. We're trying to make in this church a place for all the people of Oro Valley to be accommodated. We have AA meetings. We have, as many churches do, I'm not suggesting that we're doing anything that others don't. But we are doing one thing that others haven't done, and that's starting the last Saturday of the month of September. We're offering a church service for people who are on the autism spectrum and children of special needs. So families that have someone on the autism spectrum or children with special needs. We are offering a program that was initiated in Connecticut by an Episcopal church there. They found themselves, as we do, that a number of families do not have an opportunity to worship because they are timid about their children coming to church. So we're instigating in the most neighborly way we know to have a church service on Saturday afternoon. So I would like for you to think of that as an example of how we are going to go out of our way to be wonderful neighbors and to to offer to the individuals who are around us a compatible and generous and loving community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Deborah Assis, and the next speaker is Paul Krasnowski.
So, members of the commission, friends and neighbors, I'm Deborah Assis. I'm the vicar of Church of the Apostles and grateful to speak with you this evening. Susan just spoke to our tradition of being neighborly, of being good neighbors, and that is a commitment that we've made together since I've been there for the last 6 years. We go out of our way to become the Center for Music and Arts in the Northwest Quadrant of Tucson and have accomplished quite a lot in that regard. We support a program called Tucson Jazz Institute that raises money for student musicians, gives them scholarships, and brings great music to the community. We've supported a number of other programs and ARS singers and the True Concord singers, and now the Tucson Girls Chorus has made us their Northwest site for rehearsing. And they will be joining with our program that we do every year, an artist program. We do an exhibit, hang art for a couple of months of local artists, and we ask people to just give donations, thank you gifts, which we then give to satisfy needs in the community, like the impact of Southern Arizona, other programs, ICS. So we see ourselves as good neighbors, and we want to continue to be good neighbors. We are good stewards of our property. We take great care of the beautiful acreage around the church. We invite everyone, anyone, to come and walk our labyrinth, to walk the way of the cross, which wanders through the desert and is manicured and managed so people can access that safely and enjoy the beauty of the desert. And frankly, if we had not found ourselves in a financial situation that required us to be creative, we probably would not sell the 20-some acres. We would probably develop the corner, the commercial corner. But as we began to work with our developers and they began to put pictures around this, we began to reimagine the church as the center of a neighborhood, like a community center, where people came and where we collaborated to have walks through our park and where we share our open spaces, where people come to vote and to hear good music and to bring their kids for yoga or mindfulness, but also come just to be in this beautiful space. We're committed to being a good neighbor. We don't even lock our dumpster, and people do take advantage of it. Our goal is to be a good neighbor. And at this point, I really want to offer an apology to the neighbors who feel, for whatever reason, from the history, some of which I've heard from, you know, 2002, that there was offense taken by the way things were done in order to get the deed restrictions lifted from this property. And I apologize to our neighbors for the harm, for the hurt, and assure them and all of you that we only want to be a good neighbor. So I ask you to vote yes on both of these requests. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Next speaker is Paul Krasnowski. And after that will be Deborah Turner.
Mr. Chair, can we get you into the mic? It's real hard to hear you.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Paul Krasnowski. I'm not a resident of Oro Valley. I am a member of the Church of the Apostles, and I'm a member of the leadership team that we call in our tradition the Bishops Committee. One of the things that I do and have done for the last 5 years is maintain the landscaping around the church as a volunteer. One other man that works with me is here tonight. I suppose over the years I've walked every square foot of that property, and in a way I hate to see it go. But I wanted to give you just an idea of what is currently there, what will remain. And I don't know the specific amounts, but a large piece of it's going to be our parking lot and our building. and our sidewalks and so forth. And around that is what I could best call managed desert. It's not xeriscape, but we've reduced watering as much as we can. We move toward indigenous native plants and keep the property looking as good as two of us can do one morning a week. There are, as Reverend Deborah explained, there are some pathways that are already carved out of the desert there, and a labyrinth, both used occasionally for meditative reasons, but available for anybody to come in and just enjoy being there in the desert. Our intention would be, if the development goes forward, to continue to maintain our property in as close to a natural state as we can, and to work with the developers so that any of the green areas, any of the pathways that they put in, mesh with what we have and allow access back and forth across our property toward the south, toward Tangerine, or toward the east toward La Cholla. That would allow connection between the subdivision and the people who already, and frankly, a lot of people do walk the property. It would allow them to access the bike trails on the other side. And I think even though a big piece of our property will be developed at that point in time, a lot of it is still native desert, and we keep it as attractive as we can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Deborah Turner, and then after that will be Ron Orlantia.
Good evening. My name's Deborah Turner, and we are neighbors of the church property. We are in opposition to this general plan amendment for many reasons. A lot of them have been discussed. Water. We have a finite aquifer. We're all on wells out there. I know they're going to be getting Oral Valley water, but it all comes from the same ground, you guys. So that's number one. Number two, traffic. You talk about it being a large intersection. La Cholla Road between Tangerine and Moore is in such awful shape. I defy all of you. Just drive down there and try to drink a cup of coffee. That's all I'm saying. It's impossible, all right? It's in awful shape. Setting a precedent, there is a lot that is just on the northwest corner of Camino del Fierro and Tangerine. And it's about 38 acres, and they're trying to put, there's already been propositions that have not been accepted about rezoning that. We're talking about just blading everything. This gentleman that talked about lovingly taking care of the desert, well, this subdivision is going to blade that desert. And what's going to happen to all the animals? You know, we have coyotes and bobcats and javelinas and everything in our neighborhood. We have a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood, and we have wonderful neighbors. And this is not compatible at all. And I appreciate that the church is trying to do something proactive, and that's wonderful, but their lack of planning is not my emergency. So, you know, I'm very sorry that they can't do what they need to do with their property, but they should not impact all of us as a result. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ron Orlantia, and then Tony Vera.
Hello. My name's Ron Orlantia. I live on Como Drive. I'm the only house with a driveway on Como Drive, so I and my neighbor will be the most impacted by this. And I've been here for 15 years, and when I moved here, I was looking for just such a property. I wanted 3 acres. Our realtor said, you got it, and it will never be bothered. Well, here it is, and they want to change it. I feel sorry for the church, but when the church bought that property, it was zoned R1-144. They knew that. And now they want to change it. No matter what they say, it is not a good transition from high density to our rural area. It's not good. is going to impact everybody around it, especially those on Como Drive. It's going to change our way of life, and that's not what we came here for. The church can sell their property in accordance with the zoning that's in place, and that's what they should do. And I guess that's it in a nutshell, because we've been going through this now for 2 years, and we've given the same answers to all of their proposals. We've been consistent in that. And I think that you should vote this no. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tony Vera, and then followed by Charles Simmons.
Good evening. My name is Tony Vera, and I moved to Oro Valley about 27 years ago with my wife, Tina. And we, in early 2000, purchased a 3.3-acre property about 1,200 feet to the northwest of the church that we're talking about. You know, at that time, we had a vision for what we wanted. We had lived in a subdivision in Copper Creek, really loved it. But at that time, we wanted to get a larger property for our growing family to enjoy, wide open spaces, the peace and quiet that comes with a 3.3-acre property, the nice buffer that we had, just having the breathing room that that we were after. It was a dream come true, and we, of course, looked at all of the zoning around the area that we bought on Granite Springs Place. When we looked at that, we were making an assumption that the municipality controlling the zoning was going to establish some sort of reasonable stability in that zoning. And I hope that this council takes into account that stability, because everyone in the area is watching. We're watching what happens with the rezonings that are occurring. I think that you have an opportunity to put some peace in the mind of those that are worrying about some of that stability or lack of stability based on some of the rezoning initiatives. So I do feel really badly about the church and their financial affairs. It's unfortunate what happened. I don't know the details. It's unfortunate. But let's talk. I really honestly don't think anyone in here, I can only speak for myself, but I can't imagine anyone really believes that this isn't just about money. But let's talk about money. So when we bought our land, we were going under those assumptions that we were going to be surrounded by other 3.3-acre properties zoned at 144. And we paid a price for that property that built in all of the benefits of that larger property size. So what could happen now? Well, what could happen is all of those assumptions could start to go out the window if we continue to adopt and rezone some of these larger properties for the sake of smaller sliced and diced parcels, for the sake of tax dollars or whatever the motivations might be. So again, I think there is a financial impact to those that are directly affected, the neighbors of this church area that would be impacted by the rezoning. So thank you for listening, and I hope that this council votes no on both of the initiatives.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Charles Simmons. Okay, thank you. Jay Kendrick. And next will be Diane Peters.
Would it be possible to get the map back up before you?
Sure, sure. We'll ask.
Thank you.
That'll work.
Thank you very much.
My name is Jake Hendrick. I've lived on the property with my wife for almost 27 years. We're just a stone's throw, that dark green area just north there of the church. Both our kids were born there. We've raised our kids. They're older now. But none of that really matters, I guess. I don't have a prepared speech, but I have some points I want to make. Mr. Spaeth, your presentation of what went on at those three meetings, which I attended all, was grossly misleading. We didn't say, well, we have a problem with this and that. We don't want it. We don't want it. It makes it look like, oh, we're kind of in agreement, but we don't quite agree. So I didn't quite agree with that. I'm going to try to be as nice as I can. Notice on that chart that the church builds all these houses in a, I call it the G-shape for greed, around the church. Notice they preserve their view to the east. I mean, this thing's like, let's shove in these houses in here. And he talked about a transition and your own staff, which I don't have a lot of confidence in, quite frankly, because they can't tell the difference between an 18,000 square foot metal building and a single family dwelling. We've already got a 15,000 square foot car storage facility, and we've got the gymnasium Noah's Ark going in. I'm on point.
Take a point.
He's talking about the transition. So we've already got to deal with that. They're proposing one house on 7,000 feet. Currently, it's one house on 175,000 feet. That's hardly a transition like they're making it sound. I only wish that the effort that they put into the grading and all of this could have been put into the two structures I just talked about. The church is on record at meeting number one that this is about money, and they're trying to raise money. This gentleman said it wasn't about money, but when you listen to the church people talk, it is about money. They're trying to sell and raise money. So I guess the decision is, does the church get to just split their land off and make a bunch of money at our expense, all the neighbors? And in the general plan, whose voice is it? Is it staff's voice, or is it the people that live here's voice? Whose voice is it, really? In regards, I'm kind of all over the place, but I'm trying to address things that have been said. In restricts to the deed restrictions, the reason that none of us neighbors opposed that, I lived there at the time, because we were glad a church was going in, and we weren't opposed to that. And so we sat back, and we did not oppose them taking all the deed restrictions off the land because it was going to be a church. It was low density. We were fine with that. They keep saying that this is compatible, your staff says it's compatible with the general plan. If it was, we wouldn't need to change the general plan. There's a general plan change being requested. So if it was compatible, we wouldn't need to change that. Am I out of time?
You are, but I'll let you go a little longer.
Okay, let me get a few other things I want to get in here. It just seems like they built the church, they had their land, and now they want a second bite at the apple. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have the church, and then they want to put houses as dense as they can around it in a circle, which I think is absolutely bizarre. It's just, I don't think you would approve that if they just came in and said, we're going to propose it like this on a 40-acre parcel. I don't think it would ever get approved. I guess the bottom line is that if you approve this, it only benefits the church. I'm not sure of any public purpose that matters. And I'd like to ask all of you, is there a point where the general plan matters or the zoning matters or all the neighbors that built in here matter? This is already 80% developed. We already drive in. It looks like an industrial complex now. We have metal buildings that are huge everywhere. And then you're going to have this intense cluster of homes, and then you're going to have all of us living in it. It's just bizarre. I mean, maybe you should change the zoning to multi-use. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next speaker is Diane Peters, and after that will be Alicia Page.
Chairman Swope and commission members, my name is Diane Peters and I'm an Oro Valley resident. This rezoning will set a dangerous precedent for all the remaining land north of Tangerine to also be rezoned down to 7,000 square foot lots. Developers will use the argument that small lots are now compatible with the adjacent property and it will create a domino effect as one rural low density property after another gets rezoned down to 7,000 square foot mass graded lots. I've been involved in Oro Valley development issues for at least 10 years, and I've seen this tactic used repeatedly. The small lot size is the critical element of this proposal. It is not compatible with the rural character of the surrounding area. The half-acre lots adjacent to the 50-acre property on the north side are not transitional by any stretch. And it gets worse when you consider that the buffer between those two properties is just 40 feet, a 10-foot buffer yard plus a 30-foot conservation easement. Additionally, since the town code allows mass grading of residential subdivisions with an average lot size of 15,000 square feet or less, and since the average lot size for this proposal is 15,000 square feet or less, this entire parcel will be mass graded, including the so-called transitional half-acre lots. Only a 40-foot buffer will separate the 50-acre parcel from the mass grading. In my 10 plus years of dealing with development issues, I've noticed that the town has a habit of giving more consideration to one landowner than to all of the surrounding neighbors whom these plans will affect. I don't recall anything in the general plan that states that one person's greed should take precedence over other people's way of life. During one of the neighborhood meetings, a spokesman for the Planning Center stated, "We started this project because the Episcopal Church of the Apostles was in the hole." One of the nearby homeowners responded, "The church's financial mistakes are not my problem." I agree with that assessment, and I will add that we should not be punished for the church's financial mistakes. Since the church is requesting this GPA, I thought it would be fitting to close my speech with a biblical reference. Thou shalt not approve.
Thank you. Thank you. Alicia Page. Yeah, okay, we'll come back to her. She didn't leave, okay. We'll come back. Gary Abrams.
Commissioner, Commission, my name is Gary Abrams. Forgive my dress. I had football practice till 6 o'clock tonight with Push Ridge, so forgive me. I happen to be the landowner for the 40 acres immediately north of this development. The half-acre buffer, as they want to talk about, from what I understand in the way I get the due assessment, is that still multiple story. Is that correct? I also, the 10 acres immediately northwest of this development is also mine. I got to know the Calvary Church when they were romancing Oro Valley to build the Calvary Church up there and carve that property up into a very large parking lot with a lot of lights. And I ended up buying that 10 acres and allowing them to get out from underneath their bills to go down and replace their church down in La Cañada. What my goal was to stop all of the double high, multiple high building and the parking lot lighting and all of the glare that goes with that. Back in the 1980s when I bought this with the old Tortolita Ranch, I, like everybody else, went out and looked at all of the surrounding properties and what the zoning was at that time. And I was confident in the fact that if you stuck with that zoning and those plans, that my building, my house, and my future and my family here is where I wanted to be. So I'm a really old father. I have a wife and four little kids ranging from 13 to 6 that run on my property here, as well as a very large family that runs on it. They want to build high-density housing right up to my property line. They want to destroy my southern views. There's going to be street lighting and house lighting there, which is going to bother me, and they're going to destroy my property values. I am very sympathetic to the church. All of the things they talk about doing, great, more power to them. I'm not a big speech writer, and I don't mean to sound like I am, but their problems are not my problems. Their financial problems, if I get into financial trouble, I don't think anybody's going to come rescue me out of it and allow me to change my zoning in order for me to get my financial issues fixed. So I strongly protest this and would ask the commission to please vote it down. And let's stop this and stick with the plan unless it is something that makes sense to everybody, not one individual who is trying to get financially fixed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Alicia, are you ready now? Okay.
Hi, my name is Elisa Page. I'm not an Oro Valley resident. There comes a time in all people's lives when the status quo will no longer be the status quo. Tonight, commissioners, you have that opportunity for this commission and for Oro Valley. I have been coming to these meetings for about 2 years. Many of you are new. This is my first time in front of you. There has only been one P&Z meeting where there was, shall we call it, a tie. And it was Miller Ranch, and it was very similar to this. It's behind the Lehman property. The P&Z decided they couldn't decide and abdicated the responsibility of making a decision that night and left it for the council to do. I urge you not to do that tonight. This project is unusual for many reasons. The irregularity of the design yells that this residential community is being shoehorned into their excess land. It's a beautiful church with many beautiful things happening inside. But the justification for this residential project is poverty. Needing money from the sale of the land, or another way to think of it is bailing out an institution that has been unwise with its finances. And now it is begging you, as the commission, to bail them out by caving to the request for a general plan amendment and rezoning. Ironically, this land was residential before. The church allowed its title company to threaten legal action against the neighbors in order to build the church. Obviously, the church was built, and currently the church wants its cake and to eat it too. By requesting rezoning again, back to residential, for this poorly conceived residential plan, this would establish a poor precedent for future planning in Oro Valley. Let's not do this. Homes in Oro Valley are easy to sell. They don't stay on the market forever, and unless there's something grossly wrong, they sell. Oro Valley is naturally beautiful. The population is generally well-educated. It boasts some of the best schools in the metro area and even in the country. That said, just because something will sell does not mean it is the best use for the land that it is proposed for. That is the key argument I would say tonight. This is not the best design for this land. Homes built according to this design will become less desirable more quickly than existing neighborhoods along Tangerine. The reason, the location, and also what will be built on the surrounding three corners of the intersection of La Choy and Tangerine, all of these corners are businesses, retail shops, convenience stores, restaurants, and the like. I'm almost done. This lone corner, residential corner, will stick out like a sore thumb. One of these is not like the other. Homes close to corners of high-volume city streets will lose their desirability more rapidly, and the town will miss out on the potential sales tax generation that could have been had by using a more appropriate use for a major intersection corner property. Sometimes it's good to tell people no. This is the time to say no. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. Last speaker tonight is Jim or Lori Angle. Either one of you or both of you can come.
Good evening.
Good evening, guys.
I'm Lori Angle. I have been a local real estate agent in Tucson for 21 years. I did my homework before I purchased my property in Oro Valley. We moved here 6 years ago. We wanted an acre or more. There was only 8 homes that fit that criteria. I look to you to preserve what we did our homework on, what we looked to. This is a unique corridor in Oro Valley. Everything north of Tangerine is zoned low density. This design is bizarre. I don't think there's anything quite like it in Tucson, and I grew up on the northeast side. It just doesn't fit. Something new came to light tonight when Ms. Walker came up and highlighted some of the things that the church do and how neighborly they have been. When we moved here 6 years ago, our kids were 9 and 10. That church has a play structure on it. I can appreciate the fact that the church says they're going to be good neighbors. My 9 and 10-year-old were kicked off the property when they were there playing on the play structure. This church is going to tell you whatever they need to tell you to get you to pass this. And Jim and I are begging you to change this. Don't set this standard. Keep our rural properties rural. When we bought our home 6 years ago, the current owner was in financial difficulty. It went into foreclosure. They didn't come to you and ask to put 20 homes on our lot. They bit the bullet. They took responsibility for their poor choices, and they moved on. I think asking to put 20 homes on a lot our size is not a good blend for the neighborhood. It's not reasonable. I have a couple of immediate concerns about the park, the buffer that is being referred to. At the last meeting, we were told by the planning center it was going to be natural. There would be no shade structures. There would just be walking trails. My most recent research of the design, they now have turf. They have barbecues. There's nothing natural about it. This is our third or fourth meeting with little change other than the half-acre lots. And now not only are they increasing our density by 20 times, they're putting a park in everybody's backyard. It's just not a good mix. We hope that you'll consider that for this area. Jimmy?
No, I just want to say that we are adjoining property. We live on the other side of Como, so that's the only thing that separates us from the new development, and it's just not a good fit. We enjoy the lifestyle we have. We know things change, but I don't think anyone on this commission would appreciate having six times as many homeless shoved next to them, so I hope you would consider that for us as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is the last blue card. Have no more, so I will close the public hearing, and I want to just say that I thank you all very much for your conduct, if you will, in this open house. I've been to open public hearings before where it's not been as civil, so I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. It helps move the meeting along. Okay. Do any members of the commission have further comments or questions of either staff or the applicant?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make a statement.
Yeah,
First of all, it's really not about the money. It's not about the church's situation. It's about what's best for Oro Valley. And that's exactly how I feel.
Are there any questions you have of staff or applicant? Celeste?
Okay. I have several questions because for me it is a little bit about the financials. And I will take this with a grain of salt because I know none of this can be verified. I do know that. So if this fails to pass, is the church likely to foreclose? Is there someone who can speak to that? Is it Reverend Cease?
Mr. Chairman, might I suggest if we're going to receive further comments from the audience that we reopen the public hearing? Because I think that's what we're doing.
Mr. Chair, this is not part of the public hearing. No. We asked the applicant to come back up, and the church is part of the application group.
Yeah, I don't think we need to open the hearing now.
So do I speak? Or
yes,
I
no. Oh, well, I mean, whoever is best to answer the question.
Okay. We will not foreclose.
Okay. And then I had one other question for you. How many people? people, or how many members of your congregation are Oro Valley citizens? Do you know that?
I can't tell you exactly. It's a mix of Oro Valley, Marana, and Saddlebrook. So,
and
folks.
How many members did you have in your congregation?
There are 125 family units. So we count by family units, not by people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. Did anybody else have questions?
No, continue. Okay. If you have questions, continue.
So,
let's stay with you.
All right. That was all the questions I had from you. You can sit down. Thank you. Okay, so then I had a couple questions. The open area to the west, like the park area, is that going to be fenced? I know this is a gated community. Are we to anticipate some type of cinder block or stucco fence around the entire property?
Commissioner Gamble, Chairman Swope, there will not be a perimeter wall around the entirety of the subdivision. You will have backyard walls, though, along the backs of the homes. So those will somewhat form a bit of a perimeter wall.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess I did have a problem. I tend to agree with a lot of the homeowners. I do not think there is a good enough transition with the half-acre lot sizes on Limewood and the neighbors, as well as on the ones on Como Drive. I could maybe see having the smaller lots along Tangerine because that is a much less desirable location to put a house, but is this the absolute largest you guys are able to go with these lots?
Commissioner Gamble, yes, this is the largest that we're able to with these lots. I do want to point out that there is actually a matching setback with the homes to the west. So their homes are set back about 190 feet. So we set back our closest lots 190 feet to give them that same kind of effect. And then to the north, we do have the half acre lots, but we're limited with that size. And we do feel that that's an adequate transition given that the homeowner to the north there, the home is actually, there's at least a football field between us and that home there.
Okay, so there's no way you're willing to increase the size of those lots to, say, 1 acre?
So, Commissioner Gamble, one of the things that we are also up against in this proposal is that we are currently proposing a general plan amendment to medium density residential. If we reduce the density and we fall into the low-density residential category, we are required to provide considerably more open space, which would mean that if we are going to provide larger lots, essentially we're going to have to try to sell them to folks with a deed restriction on those lots. So here's a one-acre lot, but you can't use 60% of it, and are you still willing to pay the same price as you would for a regular one-acre lot? So the marketability component really, really is tied to that density and the lot sizes.
Okay, thank you. That was all the questions I had.
You know, I'm going to tell you that's very broad, between 2.1 to 5 houses per acre. That medium density is extreme.
We can't hear you, Skeet.
It is.
Sorry. I just want to make the comment that the medium density is from 2.1 to 5, and that's very broad spectrum there. You know, gives it a lot of leeway. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's go down this end. Hal, we'll start with you and work back.
Okay. I have a question for Mr. Underwood as well, or whoever's representing the applicant. So what's the situation with the sale of this property? I believe you alluded to, or maybe somebody alluded to the fact that this property is sold contingent upon receiving an entitlement?
Commissioner Bergsma, Chairman Swope, that is the case. The sale of the property is contingent. The sale of the property to Richmond American Homes is contingent upon approval of the general plan amendment and rezoning.
And again, contingent upon receiving this particular rezoning. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right.
If I may ask, I'm just curious. So before the current zoning of the lot, as it is, There was another, the church had to sue themselves somewhat and had to change its zoning to what it is today. So what was that zoning prior? Is it
not the church. It was the property owner prior to the church. So this parcel of land was purchased in 1994, and that owner, in order to be able to sell the property to the church, sued themselves to remove that deed restriction. And I believe the deed restriction was also on a couple other properties in the area as well. So it was a notice that was sent out to all the property owners in the area, you know, stating that, yes, a suit was being brought on that land to remove that deed restriction. But it wasn't a threat of suit to anyone in the neighborhood.
No, I was just curious.
And the zoning was the same. The zoning was still R1-144.
Okay,
And actually, in 1994, I think the property was still in unincorporated Pima County, so it was technically Suburban Ranch SR, which just translated to R1-144.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So if I may, Chair, just to help clarify, churches are a permitted use in R144 zoning.
Yeah, I think I heard that last Friday. Yes, thank you.
Nathan. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The neighbors were sued. That's not accurate. We were sued.
We're done with the public hearing. Unfortunately, that means that you are out of order in trying to speak now. We'll get to the bottom of that, but you have to let us, the commission, time to do that. We're in that period in the meeting where it's now the commission's time.
Question for staff. One of the comments I heard in your opening was neighborhood concerns about the road. So as part of this GPA rezone and later site plan, the applicant is responsible for improving Como from Tangerine North to Limewood. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct per the rezoning condition.
And the follow-on to that is no improvements are required on Limewood, but it will be evaluated. Is that...
That's correct. So the main concern right now is Como, because that's not paved. It's very narrow. It's dirt road, dirt dust issues. Any access onto that roadway would necessitate that roadway to be improved. Limewood, it's not an ideal roadway in terms of what's there today, but it is paved. It's adequate for the anticipated number of vehicles probably accessing it, but we would need that evaluation as part of any future application to verify the structural integrity. Again, that's a public street. So with added traffic load onto that public street, we want to make sure that's not going to create additional maintenance issues. So that'll be evaluated as part of that future application, should there be one.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. starting with the general plan amendment, why are you proposing MDR and not low-density residential 2?
So as I, Chairman Swope, members of the commission, as I mentioned prior, we are doing that twofold for the reason of that we are adjacent to the commercial corner with planned neighborhood commercial office on all four corners. So trying to provide a more effective transition of medium density residential closer to that intersection. And then also there is just a finite amount of land that's available to be developed. So if we were to propose low-density residential development, we would be required to have 60% of the area that we are rezoning would have to remain open space. And, yes, that would be fantastic for everyone that would love to see this area remain open space, but that also will not accomplish the church's goals if they have to provide homes that, you know, are lots that are unsellable. Because essentially at that point, we are trying to still, you know, provide the same number of homes, but we're basically doing that on larger lots, but still telling the buyer that they can only use a portion of that lot. So we'd like you to pay for the price of a larger lot, but you can only use some of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. When I look at the... One of the maps we have, which is the map of the general plan designations, at the southeast corner,
This is the Rancho del Cobre development, yes. the new development there. That's an LDR 2. Mm-hmm. And would those same deed restrictions apply to all of those homes in that LDR 2 here in the Rancho del Cobre?
I am not sure how that development was, you know, what the parcel acreage was of that when it started, and you know what the lot size limitations are. But I would say, you know, that is the requirement. If you are rezoning, you are required to provide 60% of open space. If your general plan designation is low density residential.
So, right.
please.
A lot of knitted brows. What I really want to make sure that everyone, including everyone in the audience, understands that deed restrictions and zoning are night and day different. Okay, the town has no legal authority whatsoever to enforce a deed restriction. So, whatever actions in the past between the multiple property owners involving deed restrictions, the town is not party to one iota. Those are private contracts. The town has no legal authority to address deed restrictions. We do address zoning and zoning only. So when I was speaking earlier about the zoning's R144, church is permitted, that's what the town enforces, okay? So let's back up a little bit, because, and I apologize if this comes across a bit wonky. So the Environmentally Sensitive Lands Ordinance asks for different amounts of open space relative to the general plan designation. The tiers are 25% for medium density residential, and then when you go lower density, it asks for more open space. Okay, 66%. So there is a design out there that can comport to medium density, where you can have even larger lots, in my estimation, along Limewood than half acre, and perhaps smaller lots right up against Tangerine, where those numbers can marry up. It turns into a number game. So I don't want the commission to have the impression that you're blocked from requiring 1 acre lots, if that's what you wish, along Limewood. It's going to take some rejiggering and redesign to be able to do that. And come up with those numbers. So just want everyone to be aware of that, and I apologize, it's a bit convoluted, but there's a tier system of open space that would have to be met.
If I may add to that, if we do increase the lot sizes along Limewood to 1 acre, then along the lines of what Mr. Vella was saying is that we would have to do smaller lots closer to Tangerine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, we'd have those 1 acres, but now our 7,200 square foot minimum may dip below
sure.
that, which obviously I don't think is desirable for the neighbors.
I think there's a certain understanding, appreciation for the fact that property immediately adjacent to Tangerine is likely over time to be developed for higher densities. There, I mean, all the way along Tangerine, there is development potential, all whether we like it or not. The properties that face onto that major roadway, and especially at the major intersections like La Cholla and possibly Shannon eventually, those corners will be prime commercial / office development properties. But, I mean, from my own perspective, I'm a little confused about your unwillingness to consider 1 acre parcels north of the church, and possibly compensate that with somewhat higher densities right along Tangerine.
I believe we would be amenable to that. Obviously, what that does is that changes.
Everything.
Changes everything. And we are, you know, we're not proposing small homes on these 7,200 square foot lots. So that there is a bit of a change in product, if you will, of what we would be proposing. And obviously those homes on smaller lots are going to become much smaller, whereas right now we can get a good-sized home on any of the lots that we have in there. So that was my reluctance. But I think if there is openness to having smaller lots closer to Tangerine and closer to the church and church parking lot, then I think we would be amenable to that, because that's really what our design has tried to achieve, is keep that intensity or the smaller lots closer to Tangerine, closer to the church parking lot, because there will be some...
I mean, I would think that the church would be kind of the boundary between very low density to the, very low density to the north and higher densities to the south of the church. I mean, that's just my perspective. I don't know how the other members of the commission feel, but that's kind of where... So what I'm hearing is that there is some flexibility?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Again, I throw it back to other members of the commission. Are there other questions, comments of staff or the applicant?
Well, I guess I would wonder how much flexibility, because in the interest of not wasting, I know the neighbors have come out multiple times. I think every one of us has been to a neighborhood meeting and dealt with this. Mm-hmm. If there weren't significant changes made, then I wouldn't want to waste anybody else's time. But if you were willing to make significant changes,
Chairman
Swope, perhaps a continuance.
Chairman Swope, Commissioner Gamble, our changes would be as significant as replacing the entirety of those half-acre lots with one-acre lots. So we would commit to that fully.
So is that all along Limewood? And then what about those ones on Como?
That would be all along Limewood. And so the lots along Como, lots 43 through 47 there, they are, we've tried to position those to be the lot 43, northern property line, is in line with the Victory Worship Church to the west there. So we've tried not to extend any further north into the property and impact those two neighbors to the west there. So I do feel that that is an appropriate transition there on the south side there along Como. Were you thinking 1 acre lots for those as well?
I think maybe not 1 acre, but half acre. I feel like there needs to be more of a barrier. This is a very stark contrast to what is already there.
Would that be LDR 2? Is that what that would be? The 2 acre? I mean, the 2 houses per acre.
If I may, Chair, yes. At the end, it's a bit of a math game. It depends on how many smaller lots we're talking about, Tangerine, and then we have to add all those numbers up and then come out with that's equivalent to. So I do want to, caution the commission just as far as, I think it's very helpful for the applicant to get specific direction. But remember, designing from the dais can sometimes have unintended consequences. So, but definitely appreciate these more broad brush comments. And you do have the latitude, just to make sure everyone understands, if you wish to see a redesign, you can at least one or two different approaches. One is to continue this item and ask to see the changes, or you can craft those into a condition and send it forward to council. You have both options. But I would suggest at this point, if the majority of the commission is interested in this level of magnitude of changes, that our recommendation would change to continuance. Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, we would have to have a motion to continue.
Yes, sir.
Two motions, that's right, because we're dealing with two items. But the issue is, what expectation do we have in terms of what would come back to us? As Commissioner Gamble mentioned, we don't want to belabor this issue. We don't want our neighbors
to be in this limbo for any longer than necessary. They've already gone through this for a year or more, I'm sure.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I need to understand what flexibility you have, Mr. Underwood. You're sort of representing two parties, it seems, the church as well as potential buyer, Richmond American Homes. So how many units? I know you've reduced the number of units on this property through the process in order to address the concerns of the neighbors unsuccessfully. How few units or dwelling units could you place on this property and comply with the sales agreement with Richmond American Homes?
That I'm not sure of. I would have to ask another member of our team to come up and go into more detail about that. But I will say, just in the essence of not belaboring things and not wasting anybody's time, you spoke about significance. You know, how significant are the changes are the changes that we can make? And, you know, I think we've heard loud and clear at every meeting and again tonight that the consistent message has been that the neighborhood does not want anything but 3.3 acre lots. And so I sort of feel like, yes, we are willing to make concessions and to make significant changes, but it's, you know, significance in the eye of the beholder. Is that significant to you all, not to the neighborhood? So I guess I'm saying I'm not sure that the changes that we're discussing are going to be enough.
Okay. What do we want to do? Do we want to make a motion on the current proposal? Do we want to make a motion on a continuance?
Mr. Sherman, I think that, you know, we have two actions here, one on the general plan, mm-hmm. one on the zoning. Really, it's a pretty stark choice in terms of the general plan. Either you stay pretty much where you're at, or you go something higher, and how much higher do we go? I mean, MDR is sort of a suburban type residential, and they're talking about toward the lower end of the range. You know, is that a reasonable transition? Now, they could, I suppose, look at one of the other designations that would be appropriate for an MDR designation or zones that would be appropriate, which would be R120, R110, something like that. I don't know how that would work, but I think we have to. I think we should make a choice tonight on the general plan if we could. And then maybe we continue the matter in terms of the zone change to a future meeting.
Mr. Chair, I might suggest if you're going to do a continuance, continue both items together mm-hmm. so that staff and the applicant can work
yes,
on this to come up with something versus splitting the general yeah. plan from the rezone, which might end up meaning you've amended the general plan and then they can't come yeah. to consensus on a rezone, and right. now you've got a general plan that somebody else is going to come through right. with something on potentially, and that's an unknown. So bringing them together means then you at least have a plan that everybody can look at and say either yes or no.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm suggesting splitting them up because that would sort of narrow down the choices. Now, we could do as Mr. Andrews is suggesting, but that sort of leaves things wide open at this point.
Okay. Well, in order to get us off the dime, somebody should make a motion. We can, based on what that motion is, then we can progress with our deliberations. But we're kind of in this limbo right now where we don't know what we want to do. So if someone can make a motion either to approve or disapprove of the existing proposal and or a motion to continue in the hopes that they will come back with something significantly different and more reflective of what the community is looking for.
All right.
You know, I come to these with an open mind always, and what the neighborhood people say bears a lot of weight to me, and I am siding with them. I don't feel like this is a benefit to Oro Valley. I don't think it's in line with. I actually brought my my Our Future, Our Plan, and at this point, I would move to recommend denial on. Oh, okay, so item one, I would move to recommend denial of the proposed general plan amendment based on the findings that it isn't in line with the general plan. I don't feel it preserves the scenic beauty and environment of this area, and I don't feel it keeps this unique community identity as a special place.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
A second.
Okay. Moved and seconded that we, that in both items one and two.
Well, we would deny.
Mr. Chair, let's take them one at a time.
Okay. Let's stay with one. That we would deny the proposed general plan amendment. And it's been seconded. Any discussion? Yes, Nathan.
Yeah, I had discussion. My discussion point kind of goes like this. I'm a little frustrated by the. By the negotiation taking place at this meeting, given the neighbors, the applicant, town staff have worked on this for a long, long time. I appreciate what the applicant says, that a continuance in this case may still not bring agreement. So that's why I support the motion as made.
Yes, Chairman, I'd like to make a comment. I just want to say that I'm disappointed that they're unwilling to go from medium density to low density, being that medium is so broad. So,
it seemed to me that denying doesn't preclude the opportunity for the applicant to come back at some later point with a revised design that reflects hopefully a little closer to what the community is looking for. It just means that at this point in time, based upon this tentative development plan, we would not recommend the council approving it. We do not recommend the council approving this temporary tentative development plan. So that's what we would be saying in my mind. Everybody okay? Hal, you look like you're...
Well, I'm sort of torn. I mean, if we say no, then the question is, what would we be willing to accept here? And I know we don't have to decide that
we
tonight.
We don't have to decide that now.
But it might be helpful to give the applicant some indication of what might be workable from our point of view, if we can reach some agreement on that. But, you know, we don't have to.
I don't think we need to do that tonight, because I think they've heard it loud and clear. The staff has made it in their staff report what they believe the appropriate density should be, especially along the northern side of the project.
I guess just stepping off the top of my head, in terms of what I would maybe be looking for, is maybe a split designation on this property, where maybe the southern half could receive an MDR designation, and the northern half would receive an LDR one or two. That might be one approach that would be a compromise. And I know the LDR presents problems in terms of the environmentally sensitive lands requirements, but if only half the property had that kind of a designation, maybe that would be something they could work with. I don't know. It's just a thought.
And I think there is still that, as I said before, I think there's still that opportunity for them to come back at some later point. If we deny this request tonight, they still have the opportunity to come back later with a split option or whatever works. But I think I don't think continuing is going to help. I think we need to send a message now about this particular proposal. And then it's up to them to come back with something different if they care to. That's just my opinion. So we have the motion on the table.
So if I may,
yes.
Chair, just a heads up, just to make sure that you're aware in terms of process. So In between commission and council, if a, let's say the applicant does propose a significantly different design between commission and council, then it'll be staff's obligation to make a judgment if it's significant enough that we need to send it back to the commission. So, you know, if there is a new plan with 1 acre lots and, you know, those types of changes, it's going to come back to you. So, you know, that isn't to deter where you're going right now. It's just be aware that there are limits to what they can change between commission and council.
Right. So. Okay, the motion is on the table right now and has been seconded to deny the proposed general plan amendment. I'm going to call for the vote. Are you all ready? All those in favor of the denial of the motion, the denial in the motion, say aye.
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 Can we get a roll call on that? I'd like to make sure that it's recorded.
Chair Swope?
Aye.
Vice Chair Baskin?
Aye.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Gamble?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
No.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Let the record show that the motion was denied.
5-1.
5-1. Now, the next motion relates to the zoning itself, but now, that's right, Joe.
Now, Mr. Chair, you pretty much have no choice. You have to deny both because we can't do zoning without a general
plan. We still need to vote on it, right, though?
Correct, sir.
Yeah, man, this is pro forma. So let's just vote on a motion. I guess, do we have to make the motion again, Joe, for Robert's
Yes, Mr.
Rules?
Chair, we have to make the motion and go through it. You don't have to have further discussion if you don't want, but you can have yourselves a vote.
Okay. Would somebody make the second motion on item 2?
I move to recommend denial of the proposed rezoning based on the same findings in item 1, that it didn't preserve the scenic beauty and environment, and it didn't keep the unique community identity as a special place.
I'll make a second.
You seconded. Okay. Joe was right. We just to follow suit with the first. And I think it's a message that the Planning Commission is really obligated to send to the council.
And the other part, Mr. Chair, is it would come across as rather odd for you to recommend denial on a general plan and then recommend approval on zoning that doesn't meet the general plan you just recommended denial for.
Right. I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah, so it's almost that you have to do this.
But I think my point is that I think it's important for the commission to be sending a message to council that this is what we see. Yes, buyer, we may see this coming back to us in a significantly different form. Okay. Okay, all those, well, again, I'd like to have a roll call vote if I can on this.
Chair Swope?
Aye.
Vice Chair Baskin?
Aye.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Gamble?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Let the record show that the motion passed 6-0. Okay. Thank you all very much. Let's see. We go on. Yes, thank you. The meeting is continuing, so if you're leaving, go. Well, we'll wait. We'll just wait a minute.
Chair Swope?
Mr. Chair,
may I suggest a 5-minute recess?
Okay. I'd like to bring the commission meeting back to order, if I might. If you all are still in the room, you can sit and or leave. Good to see the Kishis are still here. Okay. We're back in the meeting. Fire, it's now your turn on planning update.
Yes. So tomorrow is the start of the Arizona Planning Association Conference, and super huge thanks to Hal, Celeste, Skeet, and Ellen, who are all registered for the conference.
Excellent.
And I think Hal pointed out today there's a fantastic sounding session tomorrow. I think it's at 10 a.m., is that right? 10:30 to 2:30. That's specifically geared toward board and commission members. So, and there's no extra charge or fee to go to that. It's all part of the overall package. So I hope to see you all there. And thanks so much for making the time to do that. It's a big time commitment. Between the commission meeting, reading your packets this week, and 3 days of planning, I mean, what could be better? What could be better? All right. So, well, maybe the next item is better. So October, we take a break. We don't have any items in the queue for the October meeting. We do expect in November to have two study sessions for commercial code, tech park code amendments, as well as our changes to our noise standards in the code. So we're bringing that whole pile in November for a study session, and then hopefully for action in December. I do want to stop right there, or actually one more, actually the most important item of this planning division update, and that's an enormous thank you to Mr. Baskin for his years of service, not only at the Planning and Zoning Commission, but also with the Conceptual Design Review Board. And Nathan, how many years has it been? Not dog years, person years.
It's been about nine total.
Nine total, so...
Wow.
There you go. Hoping not to steal your thunder, Nathan, but Nathan's moving to Pima County, so congratulate him and his family on finding a great home. And if it's okay with Mr. Andrews, I know Mr. Swope would like to add a few more words.
If it's okay, Joe.
Be quicker.
No, I just want to... Byer has... said almost everything I want to say.
But
Nathan has sat right here over the last year and a half, whatever it is, and served, me as my vice chair in so many ways. That steady, insightful, fair-minded approach that he takes to every case has just been really helpful to me, and I hope all the other members of the commission. We're going to sadly, sorely miss you. And I wish you could be here, and I hope maybe we'll see you in the audience from time to time. Checking in to see how we're doing. But good luck to you, and actually, toward the end of the year, I think you are going to be gone, I will be gone, and Commissioner Rib will be gone, so it will be a major turnover in the commission membership at the beginning of next year. Okay, that's it.
I'd like to move to deny that motion of those three leaving.
Yes, you may say something. If Joe lets you.
I'm going to move you to Pima County.
I'll be quick. No, I just want to thank the current commissioners as well as all the other volunteers that I've served with. I mean, in 9 years, this has given me a profound appreciation for civic responsibility. I mean, I've seen development projects come to the various boards, and I've seen the influence of public input, the outreach, what it means to really solve community fit when it's a problem, and I've seen the value in this. So it's been a huge privilege for me to serve the town of Oro Valley for as long as I've been able to. So thanks.
Mr. Chair, I'm back here. It's a somewhat of an unusual circumstance. I wanted to represent the council just tonight and thank you. I've watched every meeting that you've been in, and you've been an invaluable resource and input to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I wouldn't read the rest of the email when I saw it. I didn't want to get to the part that said resigned, so I didn't. I stopped right there, and then I had to call and say, Byer, what did it say? But thank you so much for what you've done and all that you have been willing to do. It's not an easy job. I know we will have a time when...
He's not very good either.
I know we'll have an opportunity, I'm sure, to recognize it when we recognize other members who are leaving the various commissions. But for right now, I just wanted to say on behalf of the council, thanks so much.
Back to you, Byer.
That's a wrap.
It's on to me.
Back to you.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move to adjourn the September special session of the PZC.
Boy, great. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Boy, we are adjourned.